Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I didn't care about nothing else but partying.
I should be doing horror film music.
Yeah, fun. Kunde vi få göra oss det här?
Why you getting that impression?
Jag älskar liksom så här typ koncept.
It's exciting, it's fresh, it's different. The purists hated it.
It's really strange.
I tried working for the man, but fuck it, you know.
Whatever makes you feel good, go with it.
Old to the new. A flavor from the old, so you don't scare people, but with the future sound.
Rune Reilly Kölsch. Tre namn, tre nationaliteter, en artist. Han har fler delar Europa i sig än de flesta av oss. Uppvuxen i Danmark, irländsk pappa, tysk mamma och en fransk styvmor. House- och teknoproducent sedan några decennier tillbaka. Det här är mannen som levt genom några namnbyten och skapat hits för undergroundklubbar och topplistor. För snart 10 år sedan gjorde han en liten kursändring och fokuserade sin kreativitet mot en enda sak. Kölsch. Skippa topplistorna och skapa musik han älskar. Möt Kölsch som drar sin elektroniska musik mot den neoklassiska. Det här är Musik och Danulf.
I just vividly remember everything being grey. Everything being just absolute shit at every moment. Going to school, haven't done the homeworks. All I wanted to do was just escape, get the hell out of there. And then I remember discovering music, like the music came to me and I realized I could be part of this. I could be creating something, that I had some sort of talent maybe even to be part of it. You know, the possibilities, the openings came and then suddenly something came, like a revelation.
Rune, hej!
Hej, hej!
Eller skulle jag säga, hej Kölsch, hur är läget?
Jamen alltså, du kan säga det som du har lust. Du kan säga Rune, du kan säga Kölsch, du kan också säga Rune Reilly Kölsch. Du kan också kalla mig något helt tredje, hvis du har lust.
Mycket trevligt att se dig igen. How are you doing these days?
I'm pretty good. I'm at my home right now in the studio in Copenhagen. Lockdown is kicking in slowly across the world, so I'm kind of watching the calendar disappear into oblivion again, which has become like a winter tradition nearly. So yeah, but it's okay. I'm pretty happy, you know. I'm in making music, enjoying music, and just enjoying life as much as I can. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's been more or less 10-15 years ago since we last met. So I'm thinking we need to go back and talk about a few things, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I think we met, was it MTV Selected? And then around that time, right? What year was that even?
I think it was probably around 2006 or 7 or so.
Okay, yes. Well, I remember we had fun.
But I do recall meeting you earlier than that. That's probably 2004 or 2005 in Miami.
Yes, the first time I ever went. I remember that very well now. We did an interview, yes.
We did. It's about time.
Indeed.
Rune Reilly Kölsch är uppvuxen i Christiania i Köpenhamn, ständigt med känslan av att vara lite utanför och inte riktigt delaktig i något som skedde i Danmark. Föräldrarna var kreativa kan man säga, men konstnärer och musiker är väl snarare en bättre beskrivning. Så det var relativt väl förspänt när det gällde att få en kreativ barndom, vilket innebar att han fick med sig en massa musikaliska minnen från de tidiga åren.
Oh, loads. I have a lot of early memories. I vividly remember driving through Europe with my parents, going on holiday. My stepmother's French and my mom is German, so we'd go through Europe listening to different kind of music, and they'd listen to stuff like Eurythmics and Dire Straits and Steely Dan and all these things. And subconsciously, these things completely influenced me. And a lot of it I've come to realize is not even so much about the songs as such, but especially the way Steely Dan records or that West Coast sound, that West Coast rock glittery sound, it always influenced me. And I was, that's what I've been trying to achieve for the last 30 years, trying to get that sound that they have, which is in itself pretty challenging. But it's crazy how you sort of discover these memories that come back up. But I think my earliest memory was probably my dad playing guitar. I guess from when I was very, very young, he was an avid guitarist. He passed away in 2004. And I think that's the earliest memory. I remember also singing at Christmas, you know, with my grandparents in England. The Irish side moved to England. And what else? My mom was very much into like kraut rock, early, really experimental German music. And her friend Zig, who was a producer, was one of the early guys who started doing electronic music in Germany. He had a band called 69, and they were experimenting with sine waves and such. So I heard all that sort of stuff when I was a kid, and I was running around in his studio pushing all the buttons and such. But these are all very sort of diffuse memories. I can't specifically pinpoint when what happened, but all through my childhood it's been a lot of music.
And I find it interesting that you sort of hooked on to the sort of American AOR West Coast sound, because it, in a way, it's sort of it's laid back and it's quite polished and in a sense sparse.
You could say it's sparse, but when you realize how much effort goes into all the details, I always say that Steely Dan, in my opinion, were Daft Punk before Daft Punk were, because they would sample not music, but they would sample musicians. They would have a guy come in and play a drum kit, but then they weren't too happy about the way he played the hi-hat, and then have another guy come in and play the hi-hat instead of the guy who played the original drum kit. And I just love the fact that they were so scrupulous about it. There was no motion involved. It was all about this pure perfection, which is very similar to what we do these days with electronic music. There is no emotional attachment to each detail instrument. It's there for a purpose, and I think that's beautiful. You know, a lot of times I used to remember when I was in bands, it was always about, you know, you had a kind of a shitty guitarist or kind of a shitty bassist, but he was your friend, so you had to stay in the band, you know? And then I just love the fact that you can be so scrupulous and just go, you know what, you're out, it's bad, over.
Redan som liten kille i början av 80-talet var Rune teatralisk och älskade att uppträda. Och den sidan har han fortfarande, samtidigt som han är väldigt privat av sig. De tidiga åren var han blyg och lite tillbakadragen och påverkades starkt av föräldrarnas skilsmässa när han var 6 år gammal. Det var dessutom knepigt och komplext att sen närma sig tonåren och inte riktigt hitta något som kändes viktigt, förutom en sak.
The first time I felt part of anything was skateboarding. I got very much into skateboarding when I was quite young, and it became my safe haven from a lot of things. You know, it's like escapism, just escaping on a piece of wood with wheels and trying to find your way in the world. And that led to actually to the youth club, and when I started DJing and making music, it kind of all was the same type of thing at the time. And I felt that I had a kinship with the other kids that were doing that. We're all a little bit outcasts, you know. It was punkers and hip-hoppers, and it was all kind of the same thing because it was quite a small scene, but we were all very supportive of each other.
So it was sort of, you were lucky enough to actually find two of the coolest things you actually can grab a hold of, skateboarding and music.
Yeah, but back then it wasn't cool at all. That's the thing. It was just, you know, I mean, skateboarding or music was equivalent to being, you know, homeless nearly, because at the time it was just, you know, it wasn't seen as anything spectacular. It was kind of a waste of time for a lot of people. It wasn't a real sport. It wasn't seen as any form of self-expression, but it was something. And there's no question that especially that has shaped me as a human being in so many ways, when it comes to art, when it comes to inspirations musically, but visually especially. I have a very specific visual taste that stems directly from skateboarding graphics and graffiti and that era of time, which I'm very ever so thankful for having been part of.
Första banden han spelade med var på ungdomsklubben Thomas P. Heile i Köpenhamn, och det var efter att pappan försökt lära honom spela gitarr, men det gick inte speciellt bra. Han försökte sen med trummor med samma nedslående resultat, och slutligen även med sången, men gav upp. Ja, det var då, runt 1988-89, som han började DJa, inspirerad av hiphop, synt och elektro. Och i början var det mest hiphop som gällde, men han lyckades inte förmedla exakt vad han ville, och det kunde inte rapparna som han jobbade med heller, så ingen av dem blev nöjda med materialet. Samtidigt så hörde han housemusik på radion och knockades av energin och insåg att det var nog det där han skulle försöka skapa. Ett av de tidiga problemen var bara att när han och kompisarna försökte göra något så fick de aldrig riktigt till det där trumljudet, det feta trumljudet. Det tog ett tag innan Rune och vännerna fattade att alla bra låtar de hörde hade samplade beats. Det fanns ju liksom ingen möjlighet att googla sig till kunskapen, utan det var bara att testa och lära sig allt för som. Efter det fanns det ingen återvändo. Han gav upp alla försöken med att spela i band och bestämde sig för att spela in och sampla allt.
My friends used to call me Whiskers, because all my hi-hats were just all over the place. In Denmark, in Danish, they call it piskeris, which is the thing you use to whisk up the whipped cream. So it's just, it was a big mess for many years. I was so obsessed with this experimentation. I wanted to do something new and exciting and challenging what, you know, electronic music or hip hop or whatnot could be. But realistically, I just wasn't good enough at it at the time to get it right. But well, kudos for trying.
Rune började ge ut musik redan 1995, då som Artificial Funk tillsammans med sin kompis Klaus. Det var först några år senare som han drog in sin halvbror Johannes Torpe i projektet. Bröderna hade inte vuxit upp ihop, men blev ett tajt par när tonåren gjorde sitt inträde. Johannes, som idag är en av Danmarks stora designers, var också tidigt en duktig trummis, och tillsammans började de göra musik under ett av de tidiga projekten som Rune alltså redan dragit igång, Artificial Funk. Så även om de inte vuxit upp tillsammans, så blev den något äldre Johannes mycket viktig för att Rune i slutändan skulle våga satsa på musiken.
He had a very, very important impact when he was there, because I looked up to him a lot. And I think one of the things he told me once, I remember when I was in gymnasium, I was kind of struggling a little bit with figuring out what to do with my life, and my parents had always said, look, Rune, you got to stop with this music. You know, I had released a record at that time, I think I was like 17 or something, and I spoke to him and I said, look, I can't, I know it's not realistic to live off making music. And then he actually said something that completely changed my life back then. He said, yeah, I know it's completely unrealistic, but someone has to live of it. Which I think is so beautiful, you know, that it's the whole mindset, the positive thinking, the way of thinking, of course you can do it. Like, why are you even talking about this nonsense? And it changed a lot for me, and I'll always be very grateful for his support and his way of thinking, which was at the time very different to mine.
In these days, everybody wants to be a DJ. Let me just tell you who. My mother wants to be a DJ. My father wants to be a DJ.
Rune och hans Bror Johannes är lekfulla personer och deras humor har skinit igenom ganska mycket i enstaka projekt som Heavy Rock eller Fashion Victims. I Just Wanna Be A Drummer, Heavy Rock, kom ut 2003 och textrader som Everyone Wants To Be A DJ, My Goldfish Wants To Be A DJ. Ja, det ska vara skoj och musiken ska kännas. En ögonöppnare, eller snarare en ljudmässigt magiskt ögonblick, fick Rune tidigt. Hemma hos en släkting fanns ett instrument som fascinerade honom som liten. Ja, man brukar ju tala om att dofter är oöverträffade som en snabb möjlighet att transporteras tillbaka i tiden. Men frågan är om inte musiken har samma kraft för en del personer. För Rune blev upptäckten av instrumentet betydelsefullt då det gav honom första känslan av att han kunde åstadkomma något.
I started sampling an organ. It's weird enough I have the organ in my studio which my auntie had. I had bought an early minidisc recorder, mid-90s or whatever it was, and I was on holidays at my auntie's place, and I started sampling her old church organ. Wow, it's not a church organ, but it sounded pretty crappy, but it had this emotional vibe to it. It had this kind of, whenever you would touch it, it just felt like something. It wasn't a sample in a traditional sense. It wasn't like a record that I'd sampled, but it was something new. And I remember making a record that I should find. I think I have it somewhere, where I would just have like 2-3 chords that I looped, and then I kept just mixing it live in the computer, and I recorded it, and I was like, this is really, really good. And it made me feel, in a way, like made me feel. And it was the same kind of era where you'd have all these DJ Pierre Wild Pitch records come out that had that kind of, it was just the loop, but the loop was so good that it just gave you a feeling that was very special. And I tried to emulate that in my way back then. And I think that was the first time I touched upon something that had elements of emotion, because before that it was just experimentation and sampling this and that. Oh, brand new heavy sample, let's put a kick drum under that or whatever. You know, I was doing all kinds of weird stuff.
As you have to do.
And back then there were no real guidelines and rules anyway, so you kind of just tried to do something cool.
Mycket kan sägas om Rune, men det som är tydligt är att han i sanning lyckats lära sig vad dansgolvet behöver och i perioder skapat precis det. De olika projekten innan Kölsch har egentligen varit relativt snabba idéer, perfekt omsatta till att få dansgolvet på knä och fullständigt knocka alla. 2003 kom så låten som skulle lyfta honom mot stjärnorna. Calabria blev en sån där låt som tog över klubbvärlden under några år och framförallt på gott och ont gjorde honom hetare än het.
It was a long process actually. It took, I think, 2 or 3 years before it took off. I made the record. I had finally decided to move out of my little, well, I was still living in a very small apartment, but I had moved the studio out of the apartment and I found a place where I could actually rent a little studio for very cheap at the time. And I remember sitting in 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning after having played out, and I played this record. Sorry, I didn't play the record. I made this riff, and it pretty much took, I guess, half an hour, 45 minutes, and I'd made the original. And my manager was just around the corner, and I ran over and played it for him. And he was kind of like, I don't know, didn't know what to think of it. And he played it for the boss of the management company, and he immediately went, oh, that's fucking annoying. That's never going to become anything. And he proceeded to play me like an indie band from somewhere in Denmark and said, this is what you should be doing. I'm like, nah, never mind. But weirdly enough, it kind of sat on the last track of a CD, a demo CD. And it kind of stayed on there for, I guess, at least 2 years. Nobody really picked up on it. And then it got signed to a label in England. And then another year or two went by, and then it blew up. Then later on, it got sampled a million times by different artists. And yeah, it's like the never-ending story, that record. It's incredible how that still lives to this day even.
Calabria med Rune, en låt som blev en stor hit
och ännu större sen när den fick Song of Crystal Waters några år senare. Ja, det var i efterdyningarna av sin största och första stora framgång som han började tappa intresset. Han startade sidoprojekt som han tyckte var roligare. Ink and Needle var projektet som han hade på Tattoo Records. Rakt och direkt och med ett fokus, klubben. Här blev det också tydligt hur Rune styrde mot ett specifikt sound och att han behövde ett uttryck som var bortom topplistorna och remixer för alla popstjärnor. Som Ink and Needle släppte han 7 EPs under 3 år och någonstans där under resans gång mellan 2006 och 2009 så hittar han eller är på väg att hitta ett hem mot det som senare blir Kölsch.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tell me about the sort of the birth of Kölsch, because that was sort of the last pseudonym you could use.
Yeah, no, I still have my middle name left.
Riley. Yeah.
No, so what happened is that I was kind of fed up with these 3-minute 20 records that everybody was kind of expecting from me. And I got to say, I grew really tired of it. At the time, I had 11 people employed. It's like a big label. It was like a whole thing. And I had to tour and there was like visuals and fireworks and whatnot. It was just, it became really, you know, I was spending all my time managing other artists' careers. And that it came to a point where I was just sitting in my studio trying to come up with something brilliant and nothing came out. And I just realized I wasn't having any fun anymore. And what weirdly happened is that I'd done a couple of releases on my label, Azru and RK, which were a little bit more experimental. And Michael Meyer from Compact had heard them. And he wrote me an email and said, would you like to release a record on Compact? And obviously, being a huge Compact fan, I jumped at the opportunity and said, yes, I'd love to. And as I answered the email, he saw my last name, which is Kölsch. And he was like, it has to be released under that name because Kölsch is, Compact is from Cologne. And if you are from Cologne, you're Kölsch. That's kind of the way. It's also a beer, which is a Cologne beer. But it's the dialect is called Kölsch. The essence of the city is that. which is very odd because it's my granddad's last name. But it had some kind of divine intervention built into it, and it was bound to happen. And I remember, weirdly enough, it's kind of been a thing since, but the first two tracks I sent him, the first one was Lorelei, and everybody thought I was completely crazy because, you know, all my team back then were like, why are you having this great opportunity to do something on a cool label and you're sending him this weird record that nobody can dance to? Nobody trusted the judgment, and Michael was just like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I was hoping for. And I remember when that record came out, I decided I'm done with commercial music. I'm done with Rune RK. I'm done with trying to make records for the radio. I'm done with all this. And at the time I felt, you know, maybe I'd spent a lot of time wasted with trying to make these radio records. But then I realized all the production skills that I was using in Kölsch came from that, you know, this specific sound that a Kölsch record has came from all the time I spent on producing records for other people and making things sound in a particular way for the radio and such. So I guess in the end it was meant to happen.
Skivbolaget Compact via Michael Mayer gav honom möjligheten att skapa Kölsch. Det var en lättnad för honom att få avsluta projektet Rune RK som upplevdes som ett monster som slukade all kreativitet. För snart 10 år sedan bestämde han sig för att berätta sin musikaliska historia över ett projekt om 3 album. Uppdelade i specifika årtal för att begränsa och tydliggöra vad som skulle berättas och även ge lyssnaren en känsla av vad som hände och hur det uppfattades i Kölsch ögon.
The trilogy was an idea from the beginning. Actually, the whole way of making music was very inspired by Robert Hood in the sense that he had a label called Implant, which he still has, by the way. And he made all these incredible records that were super inspiring in the 90s. One is called Minimal Nation, which is probably his magnus opus. And then he did the Memory Foundation. He did the Protein Valve. Like a lot of things that really inspired me. But I remember reading an interview with him where he said Implant, the reason why the label was called that is because he felt that techno music, you could implant a feeling in the production that would transmit to the listener. And I just love the idea of that, the fact that you could say something without having to explain it, and it not being an intellectual thing, it more being an emotional, primal thing. And it would translate beyond words. It would translate beyond language. And I got so inspired by this that I decided that my whole ideal way to make Kölsch records and albums was that I wanted to transmit a feeling of something. And then I realized it'd be super interesting for me to explore the reason why I make music, you know, as we were just speaking about the childhood memories, what influenced me. And it was so many little weird details, you know, for instance, as we just spoke about my auntie's organ, all these small details that suddenly had a big impact and a big meaning in the end. They amplified over the years. And that's when I started making the first album and sort of kickstarted the trilogy.
Låten Grey som Kölsch gav ut 2016, inspirerad av blåset i Pharaoh Monks hit Simon Says, som i sin tur samplade ledmotivet från Godzilla. Ända sedan Rune gjorde Calabria hade han velat göra något med en tung, stor blåssektion som ledmotiv. Grey har blivit Kölschs största framgång hittills. Ja, de 3 albumen som gavs ut 2013, 2015 och 2017 gav honom en ny publik och framgångsrikt lyfte fram en ny sida av honom. Trilogin är 3 album namngivna efter viktiga årtal under de tidiga åren. 1977 är födelseåret och handlar om de tidiga minnena och ett sätt att försöka beskriva familjen och de olika personernas roller och fragment av stunder som var betydelsefulla. 1983
var en reseskildring om hur man kopplar ihop musik med känslor och skapat som upplevelser kring en roadtrip med familjen. 1989, året innan Rune började göra musik, och det var här han försökte hitta sin plats i tillvaron. Allt upplevdes grått och han mådde dåligt och kände sig mest utanför. Ja, albumen hålls ihop väldigt fint, och det är tydligt att syntarna spelat en stor roll under hans uppväxt och än idag dominerar ljudbilden. Det är både de fläskiga och massiva ljuden som lockar, som de lätta och flyktiga.
These simple synths, the way they transmit emotion is incredible. You know, you don't have too many layers, you don't have too much disguising going on. Obviously, there's a lot of influence. I have a lot of influence from 80s music. It kind of goes without saying. I was completely in love with Giorgio Moroder, Jan Hammer, all this kind of stuff back then. Even Jean-Michel Jarre and early electro stuff. But it's more the fact that these sounds have such a naivety to them that they just do something. They make me feel in a particular way. And that's, I keep circling around the same sounds, weirdly enough. And a lot of times I'll change them and I'll replace them with other things, and I'll come back to them again because they just have something. And it's hard to explain, but realistically, if you emotionally connect with something, I think that's what you should stick to. At least you can experiment around it. But I just still to this day, that particular organ sound just makes me feel something. And I guess a lot of musicians have that kind of thing where they kind of circulate back to something and it becomes a signature in a way. But I guess 80s synths is mine.
Inledningsspåret på albumet Now Here Nowhere är ett exempel på Kölsch förändringsprocess. Great Escape är en bombastisk öppning som återigen nyttjar orkestrering för att skapa en kontrast till det elektroniska. Det är som att han vill signalera att något stort är på gång. När Kölsch så avslutat trilogin så vågade han lite mer och visade på en riktning som tidigare bara anats. Han räds inte de stora gesterna, och framförallt så har hans fascination för orkestrering ökat med åren. Från små och avskalade produktioner med stora ljud hittade han till en ljudbild som andas självförtroende och som manar till stordåd. Albumet Isopolis, släppt hösten 2021, blev just det steget. Ett ambient album där saknaden av dansgolvet blev som tydligast. Här vågade han ta ut svängarna och inkorporera influenser han tidigare bara vågat drömma om.
For the longest time I've been very inspired by neoclassical music, which has been one of my big things. You know, I've been working with Gregor Schwellenbach, who's an incredible artist, and I've been listening to a lot. Obviously, people like Niels Frahm, Max Richter, Johan Johannesson. I've been very much into that thing, and it's been extremely inspiring for me because, again, it's that whole emotional transmission. And for a long time, I've been dabbling around and experimenting a little bit with it, but I've always been very frightened to leave out the kick drum because there was no occasion for it. It didn't make sense to release an ambient album or something that would be a bit more down-tempo, because I was touring so much and I needed records that would sort of be in that vein. And then COVID came around. So I did, I guess, what pretty much everybody did and released an ambient album. But that being said, it was a long time in the making. I'd always been experimenting around with these things and putting them to one side, you know, just leaving them out. And a lot of times before, I would probably have had other people record, let's say, the instruments, because I felt that I wouldn't be good enough to do it myself, and that the stuff that I would do with the possibilities that I had wouldn't sound good enough. But finally, I had time to really dive deep into getting the sound right. So all of the stuff on there is pretty much produced by myself. I had help from a good friend of mine called Mike Sheridan, who's an incredible musician. We did two tracks on there. And then Luna Jane came on
for one record as well, which is obviously about COVID isolation. it was a time that was kind of a welcome change, really, because realistically, I was sitting around a long time during COVID, and I didn't feel like making dance music, because a lot of making dance music always is also about the testing. It's so much about how does this work for the crowd? Does it work in the environment it's created for? So I felt this was the right time to actually experiment a little bit more and dive into something else.
And then melancholy is never far away for you.
It's our Nordic disease, isn't it?
Tell me, what's on your mind today? What's up? What's up next?
I was actually just digging through a bunch of old records. I was speaking to Seth Droxler, whom we both know, and he was telling me he was way into these kind of mid-2000 house records, like Sulfuric stuff, all those older. And I decided to look into them. I mean, mostly I just use them for drum samples these days because I think a lot of it is kind of cheesy. But there are these B-sides in there that have something very, very specific to them. So I was just digging through a lot of older records, just trying to find some gems, because the beauty right now is that all these old records that I have sitting here on the shelf, they're not available digitally, so I can really find out some nice ones that I can put in my sets if I want to. But generally, I'm just looking for inspiration. I'm just looking for something that could maybe be interesting to combine with something else.
Well, thank you very much, Rune. Thanks for taking the time. Have a great new year.
Well, you too. Hopefully, you can see each other out there sometime.
It's about time. Tack så mycket, Rune.
You. Precis. Hi.
Tack. Hej.
Ja, du har hört musik och Danulf med Rune Reilly Kölsch. Mannen som skapat musik under många pseudonymer men som idag mest är känd under namnet Kölsch. Han är nu aktuell med ett samarbete med Dubfire och snart väntar ytterligare projekt med Magit Kakun, Tim Engelhardt och Joris Vaughn. Tack så mycket för att du har lyssnat och supporta gärna genom att bli Patreon. Musik och Danulf hittar du på Instagram och Facebook och hör av dig om du har några synpunkter. Vem skulle du vilja höra som gäst?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.